Gospel lesson for the day is a continuation of the 10th chapter of Matthew. You can read along in your pew Bible on page 791. Okay. Jesus says, "So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will become known, that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the night. And what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Even the hairs on your head are all counted. So don't be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me, Jesus, before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. For those who find their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it." In our hearing, our speaking, our living. When I saw last week's gospel lesson, what I had asked Hillary to preach on, I thought, yes, because better her talk about this stuff than me. It's hard teachings. And I read what the lecture is for today and thought, I should have had her preach both Sundays. This is a hard reading. Jesus says it won't be easy following him. People will turn against you. People will find their life will lose it. We're all about finding our lives, aren't we, today? Our eat, pray, love generation, our sensitive people who are always who are determined to become self-actualized and find our places. Who find our lives. This isn't your passage. Jesus says, set aside yourself and follow him. The cross is not ambiguous. The call of Jesus won't be easy. Consider Jeremiah. He was a less than willing and extremely unhappy prophet. He was despised, yet he continued to speak. Everywhere he went, he gave roughly the same message. 100 different variations on the same theme of doom. This culture, this society is doomed. He was a downer. And as the people who heard him looked around, they thought, things are good. In Jerusalem and in Judea, things were good. Times were nice. People had money. There were no wars. They were safe. And there's Jeremiah standing on the street corner giving that same message every day. What a tiresome person Jeremiah must have been. He was hated. I'm sure nobody asked him to dinner. No one asked him to speak. Everybody wished he would just be quiet. People mocked him. Yet of all the prophets, Jeremiah wrote the most personally about what it means to be given this word from God that nobody wants to hear, and how agonizing it is to proclaim it. God was right, and Jeremiah was right, and Jerusalem fell. And right after Jerusalem fell, Jeremiah said, hey, you know, we ought to buy some property in Jerusalem because it's going to come back. Buy into real estate. It's coming back. Remember last year, early in the election, before July, before June, maybe even back as far as January, a lot of people kind of thought they knew how the presidential election was going to go, and it's done. We know what's going to happen, and there'd be a couple voices saying, wait a minute. And we go on and on and on, and people ignored it and ignored it and ignored it, and there'd be this little voice off here saying, you know, wait. That's what Jeremiah felt like, that voice saying, wait. Everybody would look and say, oh, you're crazy. You're nuts. That's not how the presidential election will go. Oops. Now imagine being the only person who could see that. Not just have a network like Fox behind you. That's how Jeremiah felt. Jesus said, I have not come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. It's a tough reading, and you can't take it just in isolation from what everything else Jesus said. Following Jesus is no joke. Friday, I heard three stories about taking responsibility. One was literally a story on NPR, and this one, maybe you heard it, that recently in China, in a large city in China, the folks were reflecting on what has happened to their culture, to their culture in China. Because what happened was a woman was crossing the street in a busy street, and she was hit by a car. The car just drove on. It was a busy street, and people kept walking, and bicyclists kept bicycling, and cars kept driving and ignored this woman. It was caught on video, so not, I don't think, a person with an iPhone, but if it was, it's a shame on them, because then what happened was the woman was hit by another car and killed. And again, that car sped off. Nobody tried to help. When later people were asked about it, they said, well, I didn't know that woman. Why would I stop? I didn't know that woman. Why would I stop? And they indeed cited a court case where a court in China decided that a person who had helped another person who was injured get to the hospital and you know, take care of things, the court decided that the person helping needed to pay the hospital expenses. Because why would anybody help a stranger? Why would anybody do that? The court decided, well, you have to be guilty. That's why you stopped. I don't want to make fun of China, although it's kind of easy. Why would anybody stop? At the Friday men's prayer breakfast, if you come or if you don't come, because I'm there every Friday, but I would invite you boys to come because the discussion is fascinating. And we talk about our injuries and what's wrong with the world and what's it like getting older and all sorts of stuff. And we're really smart. If it's your first time coming, I'll buy your breakfast Friday at 7:30 in the morning at where? That restaurant on Battleground. It's in the bulletin. Our cars go there automatically. At breakfast on Friday, we had this long and fascinating discussion about, do people vote following their own self-interest? Are we motivated by our own self-interest? And economists usually say yes, and political scientists usually say yes. And we talked about that, and what does that mean exactly? And probably if one looks deep enough, we do follow our own self-interest, but going that deep sometimes is really very hard. Have to think for a long, long time. Am I putting on this shirt today? How is it in my best self-interest to put on the shirt with the green and the blue stripes as opposed to the yellow shirt, as opposed to the white shirt? It's a lot to think about. And then it occurred to me, and I said to our fellows, well, you know, with Mr. Trump as president, my retirement account has gone way up. I might get a tax cut. And he's wildly entertaining. Wildly entertaining. What's not to like? Now, philosophers, you can battle this out. What's not to like? We have to take that deeper. And deeper and deeper and deeper, and then we're talking about philosophy, and that's pretty boring. So finally on Friday, Julie and I saw Wonder Woman. Who's seen Wonder Woman? Did you like it? Are you thinking of going this afternoon? You're supposed to stay here. That was a trick question. I don't want to ruin it for you, but you may be able to guess what happens. I loved that movie. It was wonderful, and it was great to have a superhero character who was a woman. And, you know, she's skimpily clad, as all superheroes are, but I want to point out that in 2014, there was a wonderful article in The New Yorker about the history of Wonder Woman. And that character comes at the intersection of the first feminist movement in the United States and the second feminist movement. Now, that's some arguing, and it's a wonderful article, and I think the author is right. You have to check that out. If you don't want to go to the movie, check out the article from The New Yorker. Diana, our lead character, is a young, talented fighter, rather attractive, but the movie doesn't play on that attractiveness or makes fun of it in just slight ways. which is kind of fun. She's a young, innocent, skilled Amazon, living in the island of the Amazons and an all-female island, and they're warriors, and they're good warriors, and there's some Japanese warrior anime kind of fighting moves in this movie that are really fun to watch. And one day, this paradise is interrupted as a World War I plane comes through the cloud. See, the island's hidden by the gods, so nobody's ever come to find it. And this airplane just kind of swoops in, crashes, and Diana saves the pilot and gets the pilot to shore, and the people want to, let's just kill this guy right now. And she says, well, why don't we see why he's here? And it sets up this struggle of this paradise being invaded by war, and people in the paradise saying, that's not our war. It's not our war. And Diana saying, but we have to help. And so she goes back with the pilot, and then she's confronted by the Great War, and she's confronted by the one side and the other side, the good side, represented by the English pilot, and the bad side, represented by the Germans. This is World War I, and she has to think through and to process how people can allow war to take place. How you can't just save every city and stop every problem. She wanted to find the one leader who was responsible for this war. And she discovered the leaders were on both sides of the fight. And Wonder Woman struggles through that and saves the day, and everything was fine. And that's the story of Wonder Woman. That's just thought I'd tell you that. It's a great little story. Do we follow our self-interest? Do we act in our own self-interest all the time? Not if we follow Jesus. Now, you can say, well, if you follow Jesus, we'll go to heaven. Going to heaven can trump anything else, and so we're just acting in our self-interest. Go be a philosopher someplace else. Jesus kept it simple. Take up your cross. Take responsibility. It probably won't be in your self-interest. There'll be costs. Do it anyway. Amen.